Hey, let's just lift up a shout of praise to Jesus. Go ahead and stand. Let's lift up a shout of praise to the Lord. You're worthy, God. Worthy, God. Hallelujah. Worthy, Jesus. Come on, somebody. Praise the Lord. You guys good? Are you awake? You're probably more awake than I am. I've so enjoyed just being here. This is my third time here. I told the first night when I was preaching, I said, you know, it's always an extreme honor to be invited anywhere to preach. I feel so humbled every time I get invited. But to come back the second time, it's like, wow, they didn't hate what I did the first time. All right, we can come back the second time. But to come back the third time, that's just like, all right, we'll just be family, I guess. We'll just be family. So, third chance to redeem myself. Yes, totally redeem yourself, if you remember that movie line. Anyways, so, well, it's just an honor to be here and to just to share life with you guys for a few hours. And, man, what the Lord did this weekend was so powerful. It was so good. Just seeing lives transformed. I mean, it was amazing. There was a young man, suicidal, cutting his arms, depressed, bound by pornography, who got just completely set free and just filled with joy, filled with life, got up a new creation, had a smile on his face, looked light, got baptized, and he just got a new life. Isn't that good? Can we just give God praise for that? Isn't that amazing? So good, so good. Hey, before I move on at all, I have to do this because I will forget and keep going. But this is a really good book. I'm the first one that read it. I wrote it. And I'm just kidding. You know, I wrote this book about a year and a half ago. I know that you guys already gave away a couple hundred copies to a bunch of kids. But how many guys want your life to see, to speak Jesus when people look at you? Come on, somebody. When people look at you, you want them to see Jesus. You want to see powerful life. This book was designed to help equip you to walk in purity and power, just like Jesus on the earth. It's an easy read. Jordan's story is in there, chapter 3. He claims it is the best chapter. One time I was walking out on the playground at BCS, Bethel Christian School, and I saw a teenager there, and he was probably 11 years old, and he said, "Tom, I read your book. It was awesome." I said, "Oh, thanks. What was your favorite part?" And he goes, "That part where the dude's dad got drug off by the SWAT team." And I was like, "Oh, Jordan's story." And he's like, "Yeah." And you guys are like, "Oh, that's so sad." Yes, I know. But it's redeemed. So, but this book will change your life. It will teach you how to be a witness. And so, who wants it? Does anybody want this book? All right? Anybody, like, hungry? Anybody? I need to see some Canadian. There we go. Canadian hunger. Come on up in the blue. The price is right. Ding, ding, ding. You win. Look at that. She's running down like the price is right. That's good. God bless you. Enjoy. So, we're going to have the books for sale in the back there at the end, and I'm going to be leaving, so I can't sign any. I'm sorry, but you can pick them up there after this service. And so, well, man, you know, I just feel like I have a word for you, Jay, and your family. I don't know where Krista went. But, you know, I really, just in talking to you and just hanging out, you are, it sounds obvious, but you are the leader for the future here. I just see Joshua chapter 1, you meditating on Joshua chapter 1. I feel like those verses, this hasn't even been a part of our conversation, but Joshua chapter 1, it feels like has been verses in your life, especially Joshua 1:9 is something that you guys imparted to him in his childhood and as a kid. And I feel like I just saw you getting out those verses, almost like your first Bible where those verses became important to you, and just meditating on those words, that you are the Joshua generation who's going to lead this place into the promised land, who's going to lead it to where it needs to go. I feel like God's going to raise you up as a leader of leaders, not just in Essex, Ontario, but also in Canada. And I just want to come along as a friend and just say, I believe in you. I believe in what's on your life, and to just keep going. And I'm telling you, church, it's time to get behind Jay and with where the Lord is leading him and taking him. And there's leadership on your life, and we just honor that today. So could we just give Jay and Krista, I don't know where she's at, just a big hand. Yeah, these guys are awesome. They're awesome. They're awesome. Yeah. There's a lot of things that money can't buy, and the smile on his kid's face is one of them. Well, I mean, I don't know. I've seen some Air Jordans put a smile on my son's face pretty fast. But now the joy you guys have in your family, in your marriage, is beautiful. It's real. And you guys are blessed, blessed. You have the best pastors in Canada. So just receive and bless and honor them. Send them to Hawaii at least once a year. Just make sure they take me with them, okay? And good things are ahead for you guys here. And so, well, if you grab your Bibles and open them up to Luke chapter 7, put your finger in it, and then turn to Mark chapter 11. We're going to jump right in here to the Word. And I want to talk this morning about faith. I remember the last time I was here, I preached on hope. Was anybody here? Do you remember that? Anybody remember that? You remember that, David? All right. See, I know your name. I preached on hope the last time I was here. Hope is the confident expectation that good is coming. Hope is something, it's in your bones. It's something you feel. Chris Valentin put it like this. Hope feels, faith sees, and love never fails. Hope feels, faith sees, and love never fails. I've preached on hope. Today I'm going to preach on faith because it's important that our eyes are connected to what God is doing on the earth so we can see to release heaven on earth. How many of you guys understand Christ lives inside of you? Is anybody here born again? Is anybody here more saved than you are tired? I mean, like, come on, somebody. Is anybody here, the Spirit of God is inside of you? You have a destiny. We're going to heaven. I mean, like, God's inside of us. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that we are presently seated with Christ in heavenly places. Hey, come on, you got dual citizenship. You're halfway Canadian, halfway kingdom. Come on. I'm United States of America. If you cut me, an American flag will fall out. But if you cut the other arm, the Christian flag will fall out. Listen, what I'm trying to say is I am proud to be an American. But at the same time, before I'm an American, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I have citizenship in heaven. That means that what heaven backs has got my back. That means I am an ambassador of that world to this one. That means everywhere we go, everywhere our foot touches, it belongs to the kingdom of God because we are sent ones to bring his world to this world. We are presently seated with Christ in heavenly places. What we see in our faith is directly connected to what we are constantly thinking about. I want to talk to you guys about faith. Faith is a big subject, but many times faith has been abused in different churches, right? It's like name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, greasy faith, just get it. You know, I mean, it's just like, but we can't, it still doesn't disregard the fact that Jesus is the one who said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? See, many people today are afraid of walking in faith because they don't want to be duped or look stupid. But what looks more stupid? To be cautious and just have your friends call you wise? Or to actually believe God and forget about what people actually think about you? See, I would rather die in faith than live in unbelief. So today, I want to talk to you guys about faith and how to grow your faith. Many times, faith today, we think we have to just grab it and blab it, scream, work really hard. If I grunt really fast, then faith will come. But faith doesn't come through striving. We don't grow in faith by working harder. We don't grow in faith by all the mental gymnastics, all the spiritual gymnastics that we do in our own brains. We grow in faith through surrender. Faith is a gift. Faith is something that we receive as a gift from heaven. It's not something that we work harder for. Now, that doesn't mean we don't work hard, because, you know, any successful marriage here has realized you had to work at your marriage for it to work. Amen. Come on, but guys, you know what I'm talking about. You're like, how do I connect with this girl's emotions? How do I do this? It's just like, you got to work at it. You got to pick up your underwear in the morning and put it away where it belongs. You got to do something. You can't just sit around and, I'm just growing in it. I'm just not striving anymore. I'm just going to sit around and let it happen. No, faith is something that grows in our hearts by surrendering and by yielding to the Holy Spirit and what God is doing, and it gets born in our hearts. Go with me to keep your finger in Luke chapter 7 there, and go with me to Mark chapter 11 first. We're going to just look at this here. Give me a second to just unpackage this. This is an amazing story. How do we grow in faith? Let me hit this also. Faith, growing in your faith is not, I don't have faith in my faith. I don't have faith in my ability to believe God. My faith comes from looking at Christ. It's Christ-likeness. It's looking at Jesus. Why? Because when I look at my faith, how many of you guys remember when Peter, the apostle, was in the boat? And he said, Lord, if that's you walking on the water, tell me to come. And Peter steps out of the water, and he walks on the water towards the Lord. But then when he looked down, what was he doing? He was looking at his own faith, and he began to sink. See, I believe he didn't step on water that day. I believe he stepped on the Word. And when he stepped on what Jesus said, he had faith to do anything. See, faith, many times we measure ourselves. We measure, I'll be honest with you guys, I never measure my faith. It's too discouraging. If I'm about to stand in front of a crowd of 2,000 people or 10,000 or whatever it is, if I look at how big my faith is, I will crumble in a fetal position on the floor and suck my thumb. God, I don't want to go out there. But I can't look at how big my faith is to do anything, because without God, I can't do anything. But with him, there's nothing that's impossible. So without him, I can do nothing, but I'm never going to be without him. So let's go. So when it comes to growing in faith, my goal is to not just pump up your faith. Come on, get bigger faith. Shout louder, scream, run around the church. No, my goal is to reshape our perception on heaven. And our faith will naturally grow. All of a sudden, you'll find yourself, how did I get on the water? That's when you know you're walking in faith. Mark chapter 11. Jesus is chilling with the disciples. They're walking around. Jesus walks up to a fig tree. He sees there's no fruit on it, so he curses the fig tree. Kind of bizarre. Okay. He walks away. He goes and cleanses the temple. Then on the way back, now in the morning, verse 20, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering Jesus said, what Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Jesus answered and said to him, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have what he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you've received them, and you'll have them. That's like a blank check from heaven. Just believe that you're going to get it. Okay. Well, what does this really mean? If you really go back to the original Greek language, have faith in God, it actually doesn't say have faith in God. It says have the faith of God. What kind of faith are we talking about? Is it your faith? Is it what kind of faith is it? When you look at God, you begin to see what he sees, and you receive the faith of God. My prayer years ago was, God, I don't want bigger faith. I want your faith. I want to see what you see. I want to do what you only you can do. Because if I just get bigger faith, my faith is measured according to the faith I've had in the past. I want my faith to be grounded on what God says is possible and on his perspective. And then whether it's possible for man or not, it doesn't matter. I'm not looking for good ideas. I'm looking for God ideas. Have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. If my faith is on what God wants to do, then nothing's impossible. What mountain are you facing today? How do you know how to measure your, how do you know how to see if your faith is accurate? Well, that's easy. Just look at the person of Jesus. If you can't find it in the person of Jesus, it has reason to be questioned. Boy, you guys are shouting me down today. That's all right. I'm not afraid. When we look at Jesus, some people today say crazy stuff like, well, I'm just believing God. You know, he's made me sick, but I'm just believing that he's going to teach me patience through this. And I'm like, Jesus never made anybody sick. He healed everybody that was sick. So if everybody that Jesus touched got healed, why would Jesus ever give you sickness? Well, I don't understand why I've got this sickness. So to just, what we do is in the name of trying to comfort ourselves in our pain, we create wrong theology to believe in order to justify why we're sick, because we're afraid So there's something wrong with our faith. When can we just deal with this? There's nothing wrong with your faith. The problem is with our faith is we're looking at our faith. We're measuring our faith. We're looking at Pastor Jay and saying, his faith is huge. My faith feels so small. Why? It doesn't do any good to navel gaze. All we're doing is looking at the water rather than the sun. And so it's important as we are growing our faith that we are shaping our perspective. Faith has nothing to do with your address, has nothing to do with your past, has nothing to do with the church you're in, what failures you've come out of. Faith has everything to do with what you're looking at. It's your perspective. My dad was a railroader. Drove trains for almost over 30 years on the Union Pacific Railroad for 40 years. My great-grandpa was a Mormon polygamist. I'm from Salt Lake City, Utah. I only have one wife. Lift up a shout of praise. All right? But if I look at my past and my lineage, you know, I come from a church where there's people that have been on staff that they're fifth, sixth generation pastor's kids. And they're carrying this massive inheritance. Well, if I look at my inheritance, that's pretty discouraging. But instead, I look at the bloodline inheritance I've received from Jesus, and that's where I grow my faith. I don't look at myself and compare myself or look at those guys and be like, man, I don't have what they have. That just leads to a hole in the ground. So that's not the perspective God's called me to have. We compare ourselves sometimes and measure our faith and with ourselves, and we just die in immaturity. It's time to grow our perspective. Have the faith of God. What is God saying? How do you know if your faith is genuine? How do you know if your faith is on point? Well, does it exist in heaven? Does cancer exist in heaven? No. Does depression exist in heaven? Does addiction exist in heaven? Does marriage strife exist in heaven? No. Sometimes we adjust the goal because we feel bad because we keep missing the mark. If you adjust the goal, then you'll hit it every time. Nothing. But if we allow ourselves to keep our eyes on the prize, on Jesus, and you focus on his goodness towards you, that he's not disappointed in you. He's a perfect father. He loves you all the time. He's not looking at you like, what's wrong with you? He's looking at you with eyes of compassion that no matter where you're at in your situation, he wants to draw near and be a God that's ever present and help. We'll help you in time of need and love you right where you're at and give you grace and empower you to do the impossible in your life. See, you weren't called to be a churchgoer. You were called to do the impossible. Sometimes God puts us in front of Goliath so that David can rise up. And you're wondering, why do I have this mountain in front of me? It was in front of my parents. Now it's in front of me. What the heck? What's going on? Because God's waiting for you to realize who you are so you can take down the giant. He didn't put you in front of impossible situations so you could fail. That's not a father. He doesn't test us like that. He puts you in front of the impossible situation you're in because he's waiting for you to realize who lives inside of you so that you can rise up and kill Goliath. Why? Because he's waiting for you to demonstrate what God the Father looks like. And he has sons and daughters. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and 2, it talks about how if anybody claims to be in him, we must walk as Jesus did. The problem is the church has dumbed that verse down to just character and morality. But when Jesus walked the earth, he cast out demons, he healed the sick, he raised the dead. He demonstrated what the kingdom of God looked like in purity and power. When Jesus was on the earth, he was demonstrating heaven on earth. This is what God the Father looks like because Jesus is God. The fullness of God is in the Son of God. He's demonstrating what the Father looks like in the person of Jesus. And when Jesus died on the cross, rose from the grave, and he sent his Holy Spirit to his disciples, he said, tag, you're it, your turn. I'm going up, beam me up, Scotty, peace out. Going to the right hand of the Father. Father, not fodder. He goes up to the Father, the disciples, 120 wait in the upper room. They get baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, started speaking in tongues. And all of a sudden, they go out and they start preaching the gospel everywhere, demonstrating and just simply doing what Jesus did. And the Pharisees grabbed him and said, these guys are nuts. Who are these people? They just took note. They're unschooled, ordinary men who had just been with Jesus. What happened? The church looked just like Jesus. See, what happens when you begin to carry faith that looks like Jesus? Marriages get healed. Cancer dies, right? Autism goes away. Oh, did you say that? Yes, I've seen autism healed. Hope comes back to the heart. What happens? All of a sudden, people hear about this place called Antioch that looks like Jesus. What happened when Jesus is on the earth? His fame went all throughout the land, and people came from everywhere, pressing in just so they could see him, just so they could touch him. It's the greatest church growth plan in the world, demonstrating what Jesus looks like in purity and in power. But guys, guess what? It's not the pastor's job to just do that. He's here to equip the church. Why? So we all demonstrate what Jesus looks like to the earth, and it doesn't matter. It's a church that's built on the body of Christ, not one man. So everybody gets empowered. Everybody's walking and doing the stuff because we're all looking at Jesus, demonstrating what he looks like. And then people come in here, they're like, man, I don't know. I have marriage problems. And the old school wine said, it's like this, pastor, you guys are the gifted everything. Everything I need comes from you. No, this is not a J-centered church. This is a Christ-centered church. Amen. So when people come walking in here, they're like, hey, I've got problems in my marriage. Can you guys help me? You guys look like you love each other. Can we get coffee? Yeah, let's go out. Hey, I need advice in my business. I don't know what's going on, but I need help in my business. And you can sit down with them and you can talk to them about putting God first in your business and bringing the presence of God in your business and partnering with heaven in your business. You see, it's just like when the body of Christ gets activated to walk in faith, you have the faith of God in every situation you're in. You're not, it's like, this is spiritual. We're going to come up here and worship, and this is spiritual, but your business back home, your farming community, whatever, that's not spiritual. It's like, no, God's not separated. It's not secular versus sacred. He's in everything. Everybody gets empowered to play. Ha ha. I got a really good friend of mine who was a youth pastor for 10 years, amazing guy, and moved to Bethel, and he started a business. Long story short, he began to empower his employees to just go out and heal the sick. They were installing cable systems in people's homes, and he'd say, make sure you go in there, you bring the presence of God. That's a primary mission, not money. So they'd go in there, and they'd begin to just, you know, they'd put the satellite dish in, and then just get words of knowledge. Hey, do you have back pain? Yeah, how'd you know that? Well, you're not supposed to, man. We just want to see God touch that. Can I pray for you? Ah, sure. Bam. People getting healed. Broken bones getting healed. Lives getting restored. People getting touched. Oh, here's your cable, by the way. That business lasted for a couple years, and then the business closed. He started something else, a consulting business, and all of a sudden he's growing. He's got a word, and he's got the faith of God for what he's doing in his life. And that word came like a seed in his spirit. How many of you guys ever pray the big prayers? God, heal my marriage. God, save Canada. Lord, give us new government. Come on, somebody. Lord, end abortion. Send revival to Canada. We pray the heart of God, with the faith of God. God, may the gospel be preached all over Canada, that everybody be saved. God, let there be a worship movement that heaven fills earth. What's heaven look like? Constant praise, constant worship. Presence of God, life. Heaven wants to break in. He's looking for people who will just partner with him, have the faith of God. So my friend is consulting. He's helping people just prosper in their lives, and he's got seed in his life. Why? Because the word, when you pray the big prayers, God always answers. How many of you guys ever pray and you pray a big prayer and God's silent? He doesn't say anything. Lord, why am I facing this situation again? He doesn't say anything. He's never silent for punishment. He's usually quiet because the seed's already inside of you. I'm going to say it on this side. He's never silent for punishment. Because he's not a punishing father. He doesn't give you the silent treatment. He's quiet because he's already put the answer inside of you. And many times what he's looking for is somebody who will pick up their rod like Moses and split the Red Sea rather than say, what are you doing, God? He's saying the answer is inside of you. What's in your hand? He always answers, God, give us revival. He always answers with a seed. Most of the time with a seed. What's a seed? The oak tree is in the acorn. He's already given us the word. Amen. He answers with a seed. God, heal my marriage. Lord, what's the promise you've given me in the past? What have you already said? Oh, I heard, remember a story one time about somebody who, their marriage got healed. And all of a sudden you begin to think about solutions. Everybody say this with me right now. There's always a solution. Ha ha. Let's just, why don't you guys partner with me? There's always a solution. In the kingdom, there's always a solution. We are constantly seated with Christ in heavenly places, connected to all resources that we would need for anything we're doing on earth. We're ambassadors to bring heaven to earth. This is the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And it's looking. He's looking for people that will partner with what he said to release what he's doing. Grabbing the word. So my friend is partnering with heaven, helping businessmen go to the next level. And he's struggling. Struggling. How many of you guys ever struggle in your faith? Anybody else here besides me? He's just struggling, you know what I mean? And he's one of my best friends, and we meet, and he's just struggling. And man, has God really called me to do this? I know I got a word. I know I got these dreams in my heart, but then I'm just drowning. Finances aren't coming in. It's tough. And I'd look at him and I'd say, bro, you heard from God. Remember this? Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. You heard from God. Remember this? Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I said, pick yourself back up. Brush off this discouragement. It's not who you are. You've got what it takes. And I pour life into him. And then there's other times when I come to him and he's like, gosh, I suck as a youth pastor. What am I doing? Gosh, did I really hear from God? And he'd be like, bro, you heard from God. And he would just speak life into me. See, faith is many times connected to the people you're connected to. Jesus would take Peter, James, and John to go raise somebody from the dead because he knew they were connected to his faith, to what heaven had said. So my friend and I would just encourage each other for the last 8 years. We just encourage each other, love on each other. We just speak life into each other. And in the dark times and in the high times, we rejoice and we pick each other up and just going for it, right? And he's having breakthrough here and there and then a step back. And it's just like we're just standing with what God has said together. All of a sudden, he gets breakthrough. And he's got companies coming to him because the seed has been growing inside of him. He's been learning what it's like to move in this new faith God has given him that he didn't have in his operating system before. He had a new operating system downloaded, and now he's working from a new operating system that heaven had put inside of him to begin to release on earth as it is in heaven. Are you guys with me right now? And as he's moving in this new operating system, all of a sudden he starts getting breakthrough. Favor starts coming. Timing starts falling into place. And all of a sudden now he's got a companies, $130 million companies coming to him saying, hey, we need counsel. He's got $90 million companies coming to him and say, hey, we need you on our board. All of a sudden, he's making $20,000 a month, and another company's saying, I just need you on my staff. We're going to put you on salary. I mean, like, massive breakthrough. Massive breakthrough. All of a sudden, the tree is born. But the faith didn't start last week. It started 8 years ago when he had a seed. Many times, the reason we don't see breakthrough is not because God hasn't spoken. It's because the word hasn't had agreement yet. Are you with me? He's looking for somebody who will agree with me to bring heaven to earth. Say this. Say, I'm presently seated with Christ in heavenly places. Say this. The word's inside of me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Greater is he who is in me than he who's in the world. I can do all things through Christ. Man, you got to say it like a Pentecostal. Come on, man. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. What a verse that is. Really, we say that, but if we really quoted that the way we live most of the time, it's I can do some things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You need it. You need that. You don't need that word. You don't need hope when everything's great. You need that word when finances aren't coming in. You need that word after you got in a fight with your spouse, after your kid said, I don't want you to be my dad anymore. That's when you need that word. Because what? When you release the word over your mind, that word gives you a new perspective shift so you can see the solution heaven wants to release. How many guys, when you get discouraged, all of a sudden you just can't see. You can't see hope. You can't see what God is doing. It's a perspective. It's not your address. It's not what's in your bank account. It's not what's in your family. It's a perspective. It's irrelevant what's going on out here. Why? The kingdom of God lives in here. So when we grab a hold of the word and you're discouraged and you declare it over yourself, I can do all things through Christ. All of a sudden, faith is born. Solutions come. You wait on the presence of God and he shows you what to do, the thing you couldn't do without his presence. Have the faith of God. There's always a solution. Say it again. There's always a solution. This is just hyper faith, preacher. You're just trying to pull one over on me. No, it's not hyper faith. It's supernatural faith. Because you actually can't live for God without supernatural power. Living like a Christian is impossible. Do you know that? Why? You're living like Christ. It's impossible without his supernatural infusing, life-giving power. But when you trust in him and the faith of God rises inside of you, I'm not asking you to just be a better moral person in your community. I'm asking you to be a supernatural follower of Jesus. Looks like, wow, he's unschooled and ordinary, but you know what? He's been with Jesus. Come on, somebody. We want our families to rise up. We want our kids to believe God. We want our kids to be exposed to the supernatural. We want our families to really walk in who God says they are. It's time for Antioch to become a house of miracles. People aren't going to understand you. They're going to think you're weird. Who cares? All they know is that when they come into this place, my life gets touched. I get encouraged. A tumor dissolved on that person's life. This person's business began to thrive. Their family was on the rocks, and now it's thriving. When they begin to hear about what Jesus is doing on the earth, you won't have room enough to contain all the people that want to come because God is here. Come on, somebody. Let's go. Let's go. Faith doesn't come through striving. It comes through surrendering. Amen. You know, there's something that wars against faith in churches more than anything else, and it's the unrenewed mind. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 says, I'll just quote a little bit of it. It says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you can attest and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. How many of you guys ever be like, I don't know what the will of God is? We don't know everything, but as his sons and daughters, we should know what the Father's thinking. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. And so we can stand in what the Father is saying over us. Amen? When we come into his presence, when we allow our minds to be renewed and touched, our faith can grow. I'll tell you a story. Here's how I learned faith years ago. I was 19 years old, and I was on my way to Bible school. And I woke up one day, and it felt like somebody had hit me in the back with a baseball bat. And I was like, what is wrong with me? And I was in pain. We're family, right? So I can just get real graphic with you guys. Is that y'all good? All right. I go to the bathroom, felt like I was peeing fire. Y'all know what I'm saying? And I'm like, what's wrong with me? Ah, you know? So I go to Bible school, and I'm in Pensacola, Florida, the Brownsville Revival, and, you know, I'd have pain in my back and my symptoms for it be happening for a couple months or a couple weeks, and then it'd go away, and I was fine. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm fine. And then it would come back, and then it would go away. And you know, a couple months into school ministry, we had a spiritual emphasis week, and this wild man comes to our school named David Hogan. And we're like, who is this man? He'd seen people raised from the dead on the mission field. He'd seen broken bones just healed in his hands. I mean, my faith was so stirred because he was seeing the things Jesus did and even more through his ministry in Mexico as a missionary. Their ministry had seen nearly 300 people raised from the dead when he came to our school of ministry at that time. Why would God raise people from the dead? It's simple. They just died outside the timing of God. And so My faith is so stirred all week by everything he's talking about. And I'm seeing a perspective of heaven I'd never seen before. Something was born in my heart. I still had these symptoms. The facts were I was in pain. The truth was Christ is the healer. Faith doesn't ignore symptoms. It just refuses to let them have the final word and stay. Just let that one settle for a second. So Friday comes around. David Hogan had stirred us all week. And he says, if you need a miracle in your body, raise your hand. I raise my hand. Somebody put their hand on my shoulder. And I said, I take it for myself, God. I was learning what faith was like. I'd had faith to be saved. I knew I was saved. But before that, I'd even struggled. Do I feel saved today? So am I saved? I don't feel saved. Am I saved? Then I learned how to stand on the word. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart, God raised from the dead, you will be saved. I've done that. That's my passion. That's my desire. My changed on the inside. I'm not perfect, but man, according to that, I'm saved. My faith got established in what God said, right? So then here I am at Brownsville. You know, he says, if you need healing in your body, raise your hand. I'm like, Jesus, you're the healer. I take it for myself. I believe it by faith. Because you said it, not because my faith is massive, but because you said it, so I believe you. I'd rather, yeah. And so here I am, sick, symptoms are screaming at me, telling me this isn't real, you shouldn't believe this. Oh my gosh. And I'm like, no, I take this by faith, it's mine. On Friday, I go home that night, guess what happened, Jack? My back hurt, and I was still peeing razor blades. Oh my gosh, I'm a youth pastor, whatever. I'm still in pain. But you know what I had differently, guys? I had something in my heart that I didn't have before. It was born of faith. I had something I was fighting with. I was fighting with something. I'd look at my body and I'd say, body, line up with the kingdom of God. Pain go, healing come. Be healed in Jesus' name. I'd speak to my body. I'd sit there and to speak to my body. And you know what my symptoms would say? I'm not moving. My symptoms would be like, your faith is fake. So I will go to war. Jesus Christ paid for my healing just as much as he did my salvation. Body, line up with the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Marriage, line up with the kingdom of God. Mind, line up with the kingdom of God. Heart, line up with the kingdom of God. I speak to my body by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the authority he gave me as his son to have the faith of God for this situation. This does not exist in heaven. Body, line up with the kingdom of God. Saturday comes and goes. Symptoms hadn't changed. But I had something in my heart I didn't ever have before. I had faith. I had something that was born inside of me that was a gift as I yielded to what David Hogan had been releasing, what the Spirit of God had been releasing, the testimonies, the miracles had been changing the way I see as I was gazing on what Christ is doing on the earth. I couldn't be the same. I was ruined. Sunday rolls around, miracle. I mean, the symptoms are still screaming at me. Monday rolls around, symptoms are still screaming at me. And I'm declaring stuff over my body. I don't know what's wrong, but I command it to be healed. Tuesday morning comes. I go to the bathroom. I'm sitting there on the toilet. I wish I would have been healed of something else just for the sake of when I share this story. It's just so awkward, bathroom stories. But this is my story and how I learned faith. So here you go. All of a sudden, I passed a kidney stone that I didn't know that I had. This is no joke. You ready for this? The kidney stone was the size of a Tic Tac when it came out. My wife saw it, Rod, because I was like, that is a trophy. I stood up out of the toilet. Stood back like this, looking in the toilet, and there's a guy shaving, and he's like, are you okay? And I'm just looking there going, that just came out of me. With no pain and no blood when it came out. So I put a plastic bag on my hand. This is mine. It was a treasure. I had it in my journal. I took a picture of it. I put the size of it in my journal. Leslie, my wife, she saw the thing. It was a miracle. I called my dad, told him what happened. He said, go to the doctor. I'll pay for it all. I go to the doctor. Don't ask me why I didn't go to the doctor and I was in pain. Who knows? I'm 19 and dumb, 20, whatever. So I go to the doctor. The doctor looks at it and he said, so you had no pain or blood when this came out? Said, nothing. I said, see, doc, you can't deny it was Jesus Christ that healed my body. He said, I don't know what to say. The nurse was like, honey, you got yourself a miracle. Southern girl, you know. Ah! About 4 or 5 months ago, all of a sudden, I began to have back pain again. I go to the doctor. I've never had a problem with this since. I have faith for this. Why? I've seen God do it. I've been shaped according to an impossible thing that could happen through my life. I've seen it. I've seen God do it. My perspective has been shaped by supernatural encounters. And so about 4 or 5 months ago, I began to have back pain, or I don't know, it may have been longer than that, 6 months. I go to the doctor. He checks me out. Sounds like you got a good old-fashioned kidney stone. So what did I do? Begin to speak to my body. Body line up with the kingdom of God. Go to youth one night, grab my leaders and say, hey, need you guys to pray for me. They got around me. They prayed for me. The pain left that night. Next day I wake up. Pain is gone. They x-rayed it. You don't have any kidney stones. Yeah. This is how we live. You will manifest by faith whatever world you're most connected to. When a problem comes, what's your default button? You know, on printers, you got options for printers on your computer. You hit print, and whatever default is selected, that's the one it goes to. Your faith, growing in your faith, has nothing to do with what church you've come from, your background, blah, blah, blah. It's your default you choose. Will you be shaped by what God has said, or will you be shaped by what hasn't happened? Many times, our faith is shaped from a perspective of what hasn't happened. I always know somebody's shaped from a perspective of lack when I pray for them and they get partially healed. Pray for the back. How's it feel? What's your pain level at? Pain level's 10. What's it at now? It's still a 7, but there's still pain. And I'm like, well, it couldn't have gone from a 10 to a 7 without the Holy Spirit right now, that fast, right? Well, yeah. It's like, don't pull one over on me, preacher. Look, I ain't trying to pull one over on nobody. All I'm acknowledging is if you say you feel better, then there's obviously something going on here. Good. How many of you guys want to grow in your faith? All right. How many of you guys want this? I need you to say, I want this. Listen, let me tell you why you want this, all right? Let me speak to the older generation. This is a generational church. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You want this not just for you. You want it for your kids. You want it for your grandkids. You want to teach your kids how to trust God. You want to plant the seeds from your life of how you've just trusted God in the face of impossibility. How do you grow in your faith? You grow in faith by what you meditate on. How many of you guys ever worry? Anybody here ever worry? Good, then you know how to meditate. Oh, I'm worried about my finances. We're going under. I'm worried about Canada. We're all going to die. All over America. The political landscape, it's going to be huge. China will hear about it. I mean, just like, you know, what's going to happen? I'm just playing around. And we meditate on the wrong things. Scripture tells us to meditate on the Word of God. Middle Eastern meditation is empty your mind and think about nothing. Just go into Zen. Scripture tells us to meditate on the precepts and the works of the Lord. When I meditate on what God has done, it sets me up for what God is going to do. If you have a problem in your marriage, don't meditate on your problems. Face them, obviously. Faith doesn't ignore the facts, but meditate on what the promise of God is. If you can't, if you're doing the scriptures and you're like, this is just not doing it for me, find testimonies There is a testimony for every problem anybody in this room is facing of what God has presently done on the earth. Go to YouTube and just Google miracles. I mean, they'll just pop up right there. It's just never been easier to grow in faith than it is right now. It's not a matter of changing your location. It's a matter of changing your perspective. Come on, somebody. It's hope. You feel hope rising in your heart? Is there solutions for everything you're facing? Miracles teach us how to see. See, I didn't just get healed. I learned how to trust God for my life. The same faith that helped release a miracle for my body is the same faith I've started youth conferences with and seen thousands of young people saved, impacted, healed. The same faith that I moved a kidney stone with is the same faith I trusted God for in my marriage. It's the same faith I trusted God for in moving from one church to another. Why? Because God's with me. He's always with me. He's an ever-present help in time of need. And he's the same God I'm trusting. Amen? The oak tree is in the acorn. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Say this with me. Say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. If God be for me, who can be against me? I think many times the reason why growing in faith is such a struggle is because our perception of God being with us and for us is skewed. My faith is planted on the character and the nature of who God is, not the size of my faith. How many guys know, just from talking to me a little bit here, seeing me, you know I'm a good dad. I'm pretty much the best father in the world, just letting you know. No, I'm just kidding. I'm an amazing dad. I pride myself in being a good dad. I love being a father. I love being a dad. If you want to grow in faith, it's changing your perspective to look at the Father the way he is. Faith is simple. Who is God, and who does he say that I am? I don't think anybody here has a problem believing God is good, right? Believing that he can do miracles, or believing that he wants to touch Canada. God wants to do all these things, but we just say it like this. Oh, he couldn't do anything through little old me. I'm just his servant. He's not looking for servants. He's looking for friends. He's looking for sons and daughters that will believe God wants to use me. And if God's going to put his presence on your life and cause you to shine, get ready to rise, because that's what Scripture says. He's going to begin to move and flow through your life. I'm going to end with a story right now. Years ago, my daughter began to hate her hair. She's a beautiful child. She has curly, blonde, gorgeous hair. And my wife has long, straight, brown hair. And so years ago, people would look at her. She's 4 years old, and they'd say, "Where'd you get all that hair? Man, it's curly. Where'd you get the?" Look at my wife. "Where'd you get the hair?" All of a sudden, it began to backfire on my daughter. And she began to despise what she looked like at 4 years old. And I'm like, this is the devil, man. I want Satan's voice out of my family. And I'd say, "Addie, your hair is so adorable. It's so cute." And she'd say, "Stop. It's not." And she began to reject the affection of her parents. And I'm like, this is demonic. This is not right. And so we just begin to pray, and we begin to just speak what heaven sees and get counsel, and it wasn't shifting. She was going to believe what she wanted to believe about herself. So about a year and a half of this, of seeing this torment over my daughter about the way she looks, we're sitting there in bed one night. I read her a story. We're laying there, and I said, "Addie, you're such a beautiful girl. I love you." And she said, "Yeah, I don't really like my hair, though." And then she said, "I don't really like my whole body." And I'm sitting there just like, you've got to be kidding me. She was about 6 years old at this time, just turned six or so. I leaned back, and instead of striving and punching the devil, and that's it, I'm going to go to war, I rested in what Christ has done. And I just said, "Father, I just lean to you right now." And I just surrendered to the goodness of God instead of freaking out and hitting the stress button, panic. All of a sudden, I got an idea. this idea came into my head. It was like a seed. It was really small. It was just a thought. Most of the time, that's how faith starts. You know that? We don't think we have faith because we don't pay attention to the thoughts we have. You're just not that good to get that inspired that fast. Come on, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not that good. Recognizing faith. People in this room right now have said, I've never heard from God. You heard from God to come here today. If you're married, man, you better know you heard from God. Look at that woman next to you, all right? Listen, everybody here hears from God. God's constantly speaking. His first language just isn't English. My wife can look at me, and I can write a book off of it, even though she didn't say a word. Same way with God. So I'm just laying there in bed, and I said, all of a sudden I got an idea, and I looked at Addie, and I said, sweetie, am I a good dad? She goes, yeah, you're the best. I'm like, that's right. That's right. I am. I said, would I ever do anything to hurt you? She said, no, you'd never do anything to hurt me. She said, exactly. I said, so I got a question for you. Is God a good God? Yeah, he's a good God. Is he a good father? Yeah, daddy's better than you, is what she says. I said, that's right. And I follow him, which is why I'm a good dad. She's like, yeah, totally. I said, so let me ask you a question. Would God the Father ever hurt you? No, God would never hurt me. I said, would he ever make junk? No, he's perfect. Exactly. So I said, I have a question for you then. She said, yeah. I said, who made these toes? And I grabbed her toes. And she starts laughing as I'm wiggling her toes. And she says, God made my toes. I said, that's right, he made your toes. Let me ask you a question. Are they good or are they ugly? They're good. I said, yes, because everything God makes is good, right? Yes, he does. I'm grabbing her toes. Then I go to her kneecaps, and I grab her knees and start tickling her legs. Are these kneecaps? Who made these kneecaps? God made my kneecaps. That's right, God made your kneecaps. That's right. What about that little belly button, you know, and I grab it, and it's just like, ah, that feeling, you know. Who made your belly button? God made my belly button. That's right. Is it good? Yes. Why? Because God made it, and everything God makes is good. That's right. All of a sudden, faith is rising. Faith is building, and I'm looking at a breakthrough that's about to hit my flipping family. And I'm feeling it. I said, Addie, who made these hands? And it's the same thing. God did. And it's good because God made them. What about these elbows? What about these precious little ears? Who made your ears? And I grabbed her face. Who made this little face? This gorgeous little face. God made my face. That's right. And it's beautiful. Why? Because God made it. And he's good. And everything he makes is good. That's right. That's right. That's right. I said, Addie, I have one more question for you. What's that, Daddy? Who made your hair? She said, God did. I said, exactly. And is it good? And she said, well, yeah, because everything God makes is good. I said, exactly. Then if God made your hair and it's good, who told you it's ugly? And she stops. She leans back and she says, the devil! I said, that's right! The devil told you you're ugly, but he's a liar. And she said, yeah, the devil's a liar. He's a liar. He ain't telling the truth. I'm beautiful the way God made me. I'm beautiful. And all of a sudden, she stood up on her bed like flipping Rod Parsley about to preach the gospel across the stage. She says, I am beautiful. God made me. I'm created in his image. And she said, the devil told me I'm ugly, and it's a lie. All of a sudden, she jumps off of her bed, walks to the middle of the room. I don't know how this works. Grabs the devil, puts him on a leash, puts him in the middle of a room, puts a cage over him, and says, devil, I'm going to torment you the rest of my life. You're going to wish you never messed with me. God's for me. I'm beautiful. And she punished the devil, walking around for 30 minutes, screaming in her room, I'm free. I'm beautiful. I'm created in his image. God made me the way I am. And she sat there walking in victory and in faith. And it was simple because we rested in what God had said, and faith was born and it was released. Breakthrough came to my family, and my daughter loves herself to this day. She's never struggled a day in her life looking at how beautiful she is. I'm telling you right now, when you rest in what God says about you and you get the word of the Lord and you beat that self-hatred garbage, it'll get passed down to your family that God is good. He's for you. You don't pass down self-hatred. You don't pass down condemnation. You don't pass down shame. You pass down victory. You pass down breakthrough. You pass down life. You pass down healthy marriage. You pass down health. You pass down the kingdom of God, because I'm not connected to lack. I'm connected to abundance. My Father is for me. My Father loves me. My Father is dreaming over me. And that's what I'm connected with. I'm presently seated with Christ in heavenly places. All things God works together for my good and for his glory. I don't understand this situation, why we haven't got breakthrough yet, but I don't have to. I can just trust God. I know he's for me in this situation. I'm going to just plant Romans 8:28 right over top of, I don't understand this mystery right now, because I know that God is for me. He's always good and he's my Father. Why don't you stand with me right now? Come on. I felt led to preach on faith today because God wants to do something so miraculous in this church. He wants to do something so miraculous to the people that are here. But I want to awaken you to the understanding, it's not through a church name. It's not through a pastor. It's through a body that understands what God has said over their lives, who decides to grab it for their family, walk in faith, be normal, walk out in the community, get people healed at Jiffy Lube when you're getting your oil changed. Go to Tim Hortons, God bless it, even though it's not Starbucks, and release healing. I'm on an airplane the other day. I'm sitting there reading my Bible. I got my earbuds in. I'm flying somewhere. Some brother sits down next to me. Hadn't even said a word to him yet. The Holy Spirit speaks to me and said, he has a son. He's worried about him, and his name starts with an A. So I took my earbuds out, and I said, hey, do you have a son? This is my hello. Do you have a son? He says, I do, and two daughters. I said, are you worried about him, and does his name start with an A? And he goes, yes. My surname starts with an A. I begin to release heaven over this guy. He's weeping in the plane. I don't even know his name yet. And he's weeping in the plane. Heaven's coming down. All of a sudden, he opens up his whole life about a dream he had. How he one time, he was with a girl in a hotel room. He wasn't married yet. Has a dream in the middle of the night. He goes into this dream. All of a sudden, he walks outside. He wasn't even saved. Looks up at the sky. The sky is full of light. And God speaks to him in this dream and says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Instantly in the dream, he was baptized in the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongues. Came out of his dream speaking in tongues. The girl looks at him and says, what's going on? He's weeping, speaking in tongues. I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. Gives his life to Christ and tells me in that moment, I've never told anybody this dream outside of my family. But I'm telling you right now, because his life was so opened up. Why? Heaven came through a thought. And I just simply said, I'm going to partner with that and take a risk and see what God wants to do. You see, moving in heaven it's the easiest thing in the world. Bringing heaven to earth is not hard. It's easy. Why? You're surrendering. You're yielding. You're trusting. You're getting his word. You're spending time in his presence. You're becoming more aware. I got to say this. I've learned more from everything I've learned about walking in faith. Most of what's helped me has just been following Bill Johnson around. I will follow Bill. He'll sit there and pray for people. And people come from the nations to come just to see him pray. And he'll be standing there. And I watched a woman walk up to him one time who had stomach cancer. And she's terrified for life. And you can see the fear and the torment in her eyes. And she walks up to him in a panic. And Bill just stood there, unmoved, releasing peace. Refusing to be impressed by the size of the problem standing before him. Because he's connected to a world of abundance that brings what she needs. Did y'all get that? I refuse to be impressed with the size of a problem standing in front of me when I'm connected to heaven out to bring the solution. Amen. So, Father, I just pray for this beautiful church right now. And I just thank you, God, for what you're doing in this place. I just release a gift of faith. Your presence to trust you right now in this place. And I just pray right now, let your kingdom come. Put your hand on your heart and begin to pray in the Spirit right now. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, God. We just pray right now. Let miracles, signs, wonders become the norm as you break out, as you move, as we rest in your presence, as we trust in your word for our lives. I just release hope over this church. Let hope would rise for your situation. Hope would rise and come and heal disappointment and discouragement in Jesus' name. Let the goodness of the Father wash over this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.